ladder coming down. I'll share this with you. It seems that a man came to church one Sunday, and he told everybody, he said, "I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be in history books." And they got to ask him, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, my wife told me if I mess up one more time, I'm history."
All right.
I thought you might enjoy that. But anyway, we thank the Lord for all that he's done and all that he's doing. It's good to see, really, what you're saying. We know that was hard for him to do so. I know one thing. You can cry and talk and preach, but you can't cry and sing at the same time. And that was very difficult for him. And there's others here that have lost loved ones and situations. And we just know that these are hard times and we have to deal with it. Also, most of you know that Wayne is at home now. And he has a long route or a long way to go for total recovery from his 6 bypass surgery. So keep that in mind in your prayers. And of course, remember the pastor as he is away from us. I wanted to, you'd think after all this time I wouldn't get nervous anymore. But I wanted to do this while the children was here. It's a little story, and I want to share it with you. Once upon a time, there was a big red rooster. He had everything to make him happy. He was the master of the barnyard. The hens trusted him and respected his health, and everything was good, and the feeding trough was always full. But in spite of all of these things, he wasn't happy. "Why in the name of higher mathematics," he said, "do I have to be a rooster?" The hens gathered around as they sensed he was about to give a soliloquy. But anyway, he said, "It's no fun being a rooster. I'm not free. I'm dependent on the farmer for everything that I get. My food, my shelter, and even the water comes from the farmer. I'm determined to be more than just a rooster." So he decides he'll be a dog. And he goes out to the doghouse and lays down, and soon a cat comes by. Well, every rooster knows that when, dogs chase cats. And so he started to bark at the cat, and the cat all done was smack him upside the head. He tried to bark, and all that came out was a screech. And then he decided, "Well, I'll be a cow." So he went out in the pasture field, and he tried to eat grass like cows do, and he got all choked up, and he got back too close to old Bossy once, and she kicked him about 10 feet in the air, and feathers flew everywhere. Well, then he tried he was going to be a duck. He got up on top of the fence and he went flying off, landed in the pond, and he would have drowned had not the farmer rescued him. Now, the disgruntled rooster said, "Listen, all of these things didn't work." And so, this is a story, a fable story, but anyway, the rooster became content with what he was. You know, man is the only animal that wants to be something else other than what he is. Man is the only animal that wants to be God. And you know, when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he comes down in your heart, you'll be so overjoyous that you'll probably crow like a rooster. That's free. No charge for that. Open your Bible. in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name we call upon you. Lord Jesus, come down and be with us and visit us in a mighty, mighty way today. Lord, take what little I've got and make it into what you want it to be. Lord, I pray that you would just take the foolishness of that I have of my preaching and make it into to what you want it to be. Now, Father, if there's anyone here that don't know you today and a free pardon of sin, I pray, Lord, that they'll trust you and accept you as Lord and Savior before this service is done. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not living as close as they ought to, I pray, Lord, that you deal with them. Now, Father, I pray more than anything else that you deal with me. Lord, help me to be what I ought to be and what I need to be to bring this message today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you may remember the last time Billy Graham came to the Cincinnati area. I was privileged, I guess, to be involved in some of that. And anyway, I attended several of the meetings that was about Billy Graham coming to the Cincinnati area. I know that we thought that would be his last, but he did have one other crusade after that. But anyway, a lot of the big churches participated, and there were a lot of big name preachers from all around the Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky and even Indiana and others around. And they would met, and I heard several of them. They would speak, and we had several messages from them. But I remember one time in particular, a man that I'm not going to call his name. I don't know if he's still around anymore or not. But anyway, he's the one that got up every night at Paul Brown Stadium and made those long pleas for people to give money so that they could pay for the use of the stadium. And that was his position. He did this every night of the crusade. And I remember after it was over, he made a statement that he did not believe what Billy Graham preached. And you know, I thought how tragic it is. And one of the things that he mentioned in particular was the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, do you realize the blessed blood of Jesus Christ? It is one of the greatest things that we have in this world. We realize that the blessed blood of Jesus Christ brings us to God, takes us up near to God. Let's note the word blessed in the Bible. Blessed be the Most High God. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel. Blessed be the Christ. Blessed be the peacemakers, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All of these are wonderful blessed, are they not? But we also realize that more than any of those is blessed be the Son of God. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the blood of Jesus Christ. You Amen. See, the reason the blood of Jesus Christ is blessed, because first of all, Jesus Christ came to this world. He lived for his entire life, and he never sinned. He did absolutely nothing wrong. And because he was without sin, then he had blood that was blessed. It was blessed Amen. Of God. And you see, because of that, that is why he could go to the cross and pay the sin debt for the likes of you and me on the cross. You see, he redeemed us. To redeem literally means to buy back or to set free by paying a price. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. By his own shed blood, he purchased our dead souls that were dead in trespasses and sin. He purchased them back and gave them new life so that we might receive a pardon so that no more would we ever have to be in sin. You see, a person today, they can only give a certain amount of blood because of the medical procedures God. And he gave it, and because that we could be saved from our sin. The blood of Christ is the key and the center of our redemption.
Amen.
There are those that are trying to be saved without the blood. One man stood and said, well, I don't want my Sunday school teachers to even mention the word blood to the children in my Sunday school. I don't want it to be taught. And of course, you know, we realize that here in John it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know that in some of the later translations of the Bible, it leaves out the word blood, and it just says that Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. What they do is they leave out the method or the way in which Christ cleanses from us through his atoning blood. You see, we realize today that that there are those that are trying to work their way into heaven. Let me say this to you. We have the Ten Commandments. They are there. They're God's order for us. But let me say this to you. If you're trying to work your way through, what happens when you have other gods before God? What happens then when you do that? What happens, as the Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery? What happens when you commit adultery? After, what do you do then? What happens if it says thou shalt not steal? And after you've stolen something, what do you do then? Now what do you do? You see, that's what the law, that's what the Ten Commandments does for you. It does nothing. It just condemns you and says, there you are. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that we have been brought nigh through the Lord Jesus Christ through his atoning blood, that we can now have redemption by the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. We realize that nothing but the gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ can save the people on this planet.
Right.
who we are in the grip of a nightmare of sin in this world. You know, in spiritual redemption, the soul is brought back from sin's bondage and it is set free in Jesus. I'm reminded of a remarkable story, true story. In 1838, after rebellion in Jamaica, the new government abolished slavery. They wrote into law on July the 31st, 1838, the slaves of Jamaica were to be set free. And on July the 30th, the day before it came to be, William Knabb, a former slave himself, called the slaves together. 10,000 strong they gathered there. And they made a large wooden coffin. And they dug a hole 12 feet by 12 feet. And at the stroke of midnight, as they began to cry, he cried out, the monster is dying. And they threw in their chains, and they threw in their whips, and they threw in their slave garments, and they threw in all of those things that had made their lives miserable, until at the midnight hour he cried out, the monster is dead. Do you realize that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us? He's the great emancipator of us, full Christians, that we have been slaves unto sin. We have been slaves to live a life of sin and to be apart from God and to be apart from him. But we have been brought nigh and near to the Lord Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ and his blood. In Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, you recall that God called out Abraham and created the Jewish people. And you see, everyone else outside of Jews were what the Bible calls Gentiles. You want to know who's a Gentile? A Gentile is anybody who's not Jewish. And only the Gentiles have been far off. But when Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary, then he brought us all back through his atoning blood, the blood that nailed him to the cross. My friend, it's a fantastic, wonderful story as we realize this. You see, that story, wonderful story, also down in the hills of Kentucky, there was a dear old grandma that was taken out to one of the Catholic high schools, or the hospitals. And she's an old heart shell Baptist. And anyway, while she was there, she was getting worse, and the priest came in and noted and said, "Well, you know, I come in to give you resolution." And she said, what do you mean by resolution? He said, I come in to give you your last rites. What does that mean? She said, I've come in to forgive you of your sins. And she said, let me see your hands. And he held out his hands. She said, the only one can forgive my sins that has scars in those hands. Oh, let me say you something today. It is the nail-scarred hands of the blood of Jesus Christ that causes us to be redeemed from our sins. Salvation through him and by him and for him is of God and him alone. We realize no one else can, no one else has shed their blood for you. No one else has done anything for your sin. No one else could do anything about you. You see, Confucius didn't have any blood for you. Buddha didn't even believe in God. And Krishna, they don't even know if he really ever existed anyway. But we realize that Jesus Christ did exist. He did die on the cross. It's a noted and it's a historical fact. And that he arose again from the dead. And because of that, we realize that all men now, through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand with God.
Amen.
Stand with God because his blood is redemptive blood and it's introductory blood. That means that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll be able to stand in front of Almighty God. Stand there in spite of all of the evil that we have ever done. And stand there covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And for the Father to say, for the Lord to say, my child, welcome home.
Amen.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Oh, only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that for you. No one else can do that for you. Christ went to Calvary, my friend, for you and for me, so that we might be forgiven of our sin. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ introduces us to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's blessed because it deals with what Christ has done for us. You see, our preaching is in vain unless we realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is the cleansing thing. We sang the song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was a dark and terrible night down there in Egypt when the death angel came, but the blood prevented him from going in. Well, let me say this to you. The death angel may come over us, but if we seize the blood of Jesus Christ on us, then we will not be afraid to stand before Almighty God and stand there in our righteousness or the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you remember Sinai? Moses carried the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came to Sinai. And it is there, the mountain that quaked, the mountain that God was at, the thunder and the lightning, and there it was. There it was. The people saw, which is called Sinai, that's where Moses received the law and the Ten Commandments. And you see, there it was. There I was at Sinai. And there were all my sins and yours. There we all were. There was all my sins. And there, those lightning bolts should have struck me down. The thunder should have pronounced my guilt. All of that should have opened up on me and pronounced me dead. But instead, Jesus Christ came in and went through that storm for the life of you and me. That's what Jesus Christ has done. He took the penitent punishment that was for you and for me upon himself so that we might be redeemed from our sins. What a glorious thing it has done. And with his own blood, the Bible says, with his own blood, when we think about what Jesus did, back there also at Sinai, Moses got the word. They were to build a tabernacle. And when they built the tabernacle, they inside it a holy place. And then behind that was the holies of holies. And then behind that, the veil, was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that covenant between the ark stretched the wings of the cherubim and the seraphim, there was this place called the Mercy Seat. And it was Jesus Christ who went to Calvary and shed his blood. You recall, there it was, the precious blood that set us all free. There he hanged from the cross with your sins and mine upon himself. And there from his side came a holy and a red liquid as it ran down from the cross and gathered in crimson pools beneath it. As we think of Christ took his own blood and went back behind the veil, back behind the curtain, and there poured out his blood.
Amen.
On the mercy seat for the likes of you and for me.
Amen.
You see what Christ has done for us? You see the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It leaves us all. We are justified through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, just as if we have never sinned. That's what it does for us. Yes, my friend, we realize that Jesus Christ and his precious blood has set us free. We've been set free from sin, set free from the domain of sin, set free from the result of sin, set free from the death of sin, set free from the guilt of sin and the punishment of sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful today? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ has done this for you? Aren't you thankful that he has done this? You say, well, I was saved a long time ago. Listen, every once in a while we need to get back to Jesus Christ. This is what he has done for you. This is what he has done for you. And without his blood, you are lost and in your sins, and you will be pronounced, and you will be cast out, and there will be no place found before God for you. And we just pray that you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Open your heart to him for the soul that trusts in him. Ask him to come into your heart and life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to save you. And if you'll do that, he'll step into you and he'll come into your heart and your life and he'll forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. And by his blood that was shed, his own blood on the cross of Calvary, he'll wash you as white as snow.
Amen.
How marvelous is
that? Praise God.
And we offer that to you, not my invitation, not this church's invitation, but God's invitation.
That's right.
His invitation. And it is for you, and it is for me. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking, Lord, that you touch every one of us. And thank you, Lord, for all of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have shed it for us, that we might be saved from our sins. Now, Father, I pray that you touch hearts and lives of people right here today. Lord, touch us and help us to be drawn near to you. And I pray that they will.